Amen, amen. Any other testimonies? Anybody else? All right, we're going to get into the lesson. So the title or topic of the lesson tonight is Pouring Yourself Out. And this goes along with what Pastor has been speaking on the last few Sundays, really about unity and are you a keeper or a killer of your brothers and sisters. So, question for you all. This is going to be really interactive on tonight. So what is pouring out? So what does that look like really as a Christian, as a woman, as a man of God? What is pouring out? Sister Erica. Amen. Amen. I think they're bringing you the mic, so I guess they can hear online.
I just said what people are pouring into you and what you're pouring into other people.
Amen. Minister Avance.
So like your cares and your worries, your concerns of the day when you come, forget all that.
Amen.
That's
amen.
One side of it.
Amen. Prophetess Avance.
To me, it's like pouring out until I have nothing left, nothing more to give. Everything is just exerted. I've given it all.
Amen. Amen. Sister Diana.
So they say pouring is to make flow. So, it's a continuing of giving out what you have, not just here and there, but to give it all as much as you can.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? What is pouring out? What does that look like to you? What is pouring out? All right. So pouring out, as many have said, is a flow rapidly in a steady stream. It signifies not in drops, but with great abundance. It is about perspective and knowing who is truly doing the pouring. So knowing that you're not doing the pouring. It is knowing that even when you are uncomfortable, when things seem unstable, when situations seem unjust, that God will bear fruit, and our pouring out is a gift that pleases God. And as Prophetess Avant said, it's not just giving what you want to give. It really is an emptying of yourself, of giving your all unto God and unto your purpose that he has called you to. So Isaiah 44:3 says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Mark 10:45 says, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So it's just like if you were going into a restaurant. You know, you go into a restaurant, you sit down and you wait for the waiter or the waitress to come. They take your drink order, they bring you your drinks, they take your food order, they bring you your food. So you're sitting down and you're being served the entire time. But as a Christian, you are supposed to be that waiter or that waitress. You're supposed to be the one that is serving those who are lacking in spirit, those who are lacking in knowing who God is. So you are the server. You didn't come to be served. You are the server. 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8, it says, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." So as we see in this verse, He was giving it all. He was saying, I'm going to give it all until I die, not just until I get a reward, not till somebody tells me, well done, you did good. That was a good job. But he gave it all until he had no more to give. So pouring into someone could mean that you're teaching them, you're mentoring them, or investing your time. So what is your favorite way to serve or bless others? What is your favorite way to serve or bless others? Deaconess Strange.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
So what is your favorite way to serve or bless others?
I just like doing stuff for people, honestly. If they need me, I like doing stuff for people. So that's my way of serving. Like, quick testimony. She actually came here. So the young lady that came last Sunday and the Sunday before, she closed on her house on Monday, right? And trying to be careful with my words. So I always tell my clients, it don't stop at the closing table, right? If you need me, I'm there. Sometimes some people are needier than others. And I had to remind myself that it's not about me, you know? And I have to be very careful of that line where it seems like someone may be using you, but you have to know the difference. And I'm like, no, this is what I'm called to do. So I told her, if you need me, call me. We're actually in the same neighborhood now. She's like 2 minutes away from me. And so I'm like, this is funny. Like, she's right around the corner. And so I'm like, if you need me, call me. She been calling, right? And I was like, you know what? As much as most nights I'm tired, to be honest. Like, I'm ready to crash. And I'm like, again, it's not about you. It's about the people. You are to serve the people. And so I'm like, you never know, just that, you know, serving, it's going to win her over, you know. And that's another way of witnessing. Like, we cannot cancel out our witness. So I'm like, whatever it is, I'm there as long as, you know. But I'm there, and she was like, you always, you know, available. You always doing this, that, and the third. And I'm like, I try to be available. I like to serve. So if you need me, call me, you know. But that's just me. I'm like that, so.
Amen, amen. Anyone else? What is your favorite way to serve or bless others? Sister Palmer.
So for me, I'm a giver. So it's like, I love giving gifts, or no matter what it is, I could be out somewhere and I'll see something that will remind me of a specific person, and then I'll get it or whatever the case may be, and I'll bring it to them and I'll just let them know, like, hey, I thought about you, and it just brings me joy to, like, make somebody happy just randomly, and even if they don't ask for it, that's just something I enjoy doing.
Amen.
That's the same way that I am, like Sister Palmer. I see something that looks like somebody or... and I will get it for them. It makes me happy. It makes me feel good to do something for somebody, and they're not even expecting it.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? All right. So we're going to really delve in. So now that we've looked at what pouring out means, and what are some of your favorite ways to pour out? So we're going to really get into and delve into what Pastor's really been talking about. Why, are you a keeper? Are you a killer? So what are you pouring out? So you have to be full to pour out, but what are you full of? So we're going to talk about three types of cups, three types of vessels. So the first one being the empty. The second one is the tainted, and the third is the full, the one that is actually walking with God. So the dry cup, and I'm just going to symbolize for you real quick. So the dry cup is, of course, dry. There is nothing in it. Then you have the tainted cup. So that means all week you might have been looking at porn. You lied. You curse. You insult. And you do everything else that is evil under the sun. And you think no one knows. And then you have the full cup, the person that's walking with God. And of course you have the tainted cup. They came to service, but they have all this other stuff that is on the inside of them. And then you have your dry cup. The empty cup is your dry cup. So the first one we're going to talk about is the empty cup. So the empty cups, they are devoid of God's word. They lack prayer. They lack spending time in God's word. In Psalms 119 and 105, it tells us his word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path and reveals how we should live in any given situation. But when we don't, because we don't know his word concerning our life, we are empty. So empty cups are full of their own wants and desires. People who hoard their own gifts, they hoard their finances, their talents, and their spare time, and yet they never seem to have enough. Empty cups lack purpose. They show, they sow, but they don't serve because they don't know their purpose. And they lack direction. Empty cups are lazy. Proverbs 6:6-11, and this is the CSB version. It says, go to the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. How long will you stay in bed, you slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit. So as you can see, the empty cup, they're doing things, they're just not getting anything from it. They're fulfilling their own desires, they're fulfilling their own needs. They come to the church, like I said, they show, they sow, they may not talk about anybody. They may even interact, they smile, but they aren't absorbing the word. So how are empty vessels filled? When we look at 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7, it says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and open thy sons and upon thy sons and shalt pour out unto all the vessels and thou shalt set aside which is full. So when she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out, it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So as we can see, she was in an economic, emotional, familiar, and spiritual crisis during this time. So what she did, that her vessels were full, first, she heard the word of God that came from the prophet. She not just heard it, but she responded to the word with faith and obedience. So she went, she got the empty pots, and did as he said. She poured and she kept pouring until there were no more pots to be filled. So when we do the same things, when we hear the word of God, he can start pouring into us. When we respond, he continues to pour. When we act in faith and obedience, he continues to pour. And he continues to pour and continues to pour until our cups start to overflow. And that way we can see the blessings, and then we can begin to bless others. And we are no longer empty. So with the second, the tainted cup. And these are the people who are saved. They just don't have renewed minds. So James 3, verses 13 through 16 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. Do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish, conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. So we're saying, how does this relate to what we've been talking about? Are you a keeper or are you a killer? So it kills the body. It kills the reputation of the body. Not only does it make you look foolish, but it makes the body look unwise. It kills the witness. So our own contradictory speech often puzzles us. Sometimes our words are good and pleasing to God, but at other times they are hurtful and destructive. Which of these speech patterns reflect your true identity? We were made in God's image, but the tongue is a constant reminder of our sinful nature. God works to change us from the inside out. When the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, he gives us self-control so that we can speak words that please him. Ask God to stop bitter water from coming out of you and replace it with the refreshing water of the Holy Spirit. So if you are going to produce anything spiritual, you must have spiritual grammar. So if you have unrestricted speech, then you are speaking the language of the devil. On one hand, you speak lies and deception. On the other, you're speaking in tongues. On one hand, You say, God bless you. And then you turn around and you curse, you insult, and you speak demeaning of your brothers and sisters. You think wickedly of people when they are not around. It is easy for Satan to attack you and attach himself to you, because what you are speaking is becoming your nature. So James 3, verses 9 through 12 tells us, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursings come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives? My brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt water spring yield fresh water. So when you are godly, you know you must restrict your speech, because you know that you may be killing where there is life, that you also may be tearing down where you should be building up. If the thoughts of God are flowing through you, how do you have the mind to sin? When you don't have the mind of Christ, it is easy for you to sin. In Psalms 141 and 3, it tells us, Lord, set up a guard for my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. So I told my husband I was going to have him come up. I don't want nobody else to get offended with me. No, I'm just kidding.
So I'm the tainted vessel. I guess I can practice for that skit, that play we got coming up. Man, you know Minister A. Vance, every time I see him, he loud and he always talking about somebody. I don't know what's going on with him. If I wasn't saved, I'll swing on him. Right. Oh, how you doing, Minister? Oh, my bad. I ran out of words, Minister.
The objective is this was someone else that was in the body, and he's steady talking. He's pouring into them, but of course he's tainted, so he's pouring tainted into another person. This is still in the body, so it's still affecting the entire body. It's just as if you were drinking something. And of course, some of you have had food poisoning. You've ate it, and it affected your whole body. It didn't affect just one part of your body. Your whole body felt it. So that's just like with us as in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter what part that you are in the body of Christ, whether you consider yourself a leader, a lay member, or whatever it is that it may be, you're still affecting the entire body. Just as if you don't drink enough water, some part of that body is going to be malnutrition, whether it be your nails, they start getting brittle, they start breaking and start falling off, or whether it be your hair starts to come out because it's dry or whatever it is. If some part of the body is malnutrition, all of the body is going to feel it. So that's same with us, with our words and what we're doing to one another. You may not feel it right then, but you are part of that body, and at some point it's going to affect you as well. So that just lets us know that we really have to watch our words and watch what we're doing. because you may not think so. You may like sweets, and you just eat, and you eat sweets, and you feel like just because you exercise that cancels it out. But it doesn't. Your physical body may look the same, but on the inside, it's not going to be the same. It's affecting something, even if you can't see it. So we have to make sure that we are not being that tainted vessel within the entire body. All right, and then the full vessel. This is the vessel. Actually, I have one more thing I'm going to do first. I'm going to read something. And once again, I'm just going to use the leaders because I don't want nobody else to be offended. So if Prophetess A. Vance, Minister A. Vance, and my husband, if y'all could come on back up. And Deaconess Strange. So what I'm pretty much just like, I'm getting ready to have a party, and I'm looking for a vessel to use to pour out of. So I'm going and I'm looking through my pantry pretty much and trying to figure out which vessel I'm going to use. So I'm coming here first. And I'm looking at, right now I'm looking at the vessel of gold.
Oh, I'm looking good. Look at, I'm shining. Pure. I'm telling you, pure shining and gold. I'm looking good. Look. Check it out. Look at this. I'm rolling deep.
I don't think that's what I need this time. Now I'm looking at the vessel of silver.
Why you cooking for them anyway? They all lames. They ain't gonna give nothing back to you anyway. You ain't gotta cook for them. Let them bring their own food.
Okay, that's not what I need.
Oh, that ain't pride.
No, I'm talking about you.
Oh.
Which one? Now I'm looking at the wooden bowl, the bowl that I could possibly be able to use.
Oh, so if I was a wooden bowl, I would be good for table decorations. You could put fruits or whatever in me and use me as such.
Nope, that's not what I need either.
Okay.
So now I'm at the broken vessel.
Oh, man, I want to be there.
So this one I can use because I can mold it into what I need. The others were prideful, loud, and shallow. Not made for what I needed. So this is to symbolize really what God, you didn't really have to say anything, but this is, thank you all. But this is really to symbolize what God really looks at with us too. Sometimes he's getting ready to use us and we're so full of ourselves, we're full of pride. We think we are just the bomb. My kids will get me if I hear me say that because they'd be like, Mom, you just old, nobody says that anymore. But yeah, so that's what really, how God really looks at us. He doesn't want us to be prideful, thinking that we are the best, full of ourselves, nor does he want big mouth, shallow and loud, nor one that displays its contents so proud. So when he looked at the vessel that he could fix up that was broken, that was available for him to use, he spoke to it kindly, and he told that there was a work that you must do. And he told it to just pour out to others what I pour into you. A lot of times we want to be used, but God said to say these exact words, and we want to put our own spin on it. He can't use us because we're changing up what he said. And we don't know, that person might have been saying, let me see somebody just come in here and just do a backflip. You want to do two. You want to do three. You want to show out because you can do it. But that's not what the person needed. Or even the person saying, if I just had $20 and God said, go give them $20. And you, because you think you just got it like that, because your bank account is full, you say, I want to give them 50. But that's not what they asked God for. And it was about God showing them that he was faithful and he could meet that need. Not that he couldn't give them more, but it was about showing and doing exactly what God said to do. So, the full vessel walks with God. When you pour out, you will always be full. Proverbs 11 and 25 says, a generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives a drink of water will receive water. So the full cup only pours to others what God has poured into them. Full cups are blessed to be a blessing. It is not burdensome. Full cups walk in their purpose. Full cups can speak and move mountains. Full cups will do not only what God has told them to do, but they don't complain about it. They don't find that it's frustration. They don't find that they're needing more time to do what God has said to do, as we spoke about with the other, the dry cup, because they are walking in their purpose, so God is renewing their time as he's doing what, as they are doing what God has told them to do. So, question for you. How can you pour out some of your time, your money, and your love to serve God's purpose instead of your own pleasures? How can you pour out some of your time, your money, your love to serve your purpose instead of your pleasures? Guess all y'all serving y'all pleasures.
No, I was thinking, so me serving from the music, I mean the audio ministry, I can use my time to get better at the craft. I use my time to come here when nobody else is here to just do sound checks. So it's not trying to do stuff at the last minute. Making sure the sound is how a pastor wants it versus, oh, I want to focus on this one singer, or I want to focus on this one instrument. If pastor said he wants to sound a certain way, then I focus on making sure the sound is brought forth that way. So it's just using my time and effort to minister from that, under that obedience, being obedient as to how he wants things done.
Amen. Anyone else? Sister Harvey.
Help cleaning, then use your time to help clean. If you see that there's no toilet paper, go buy some toilet paper. You spend your money that way. If you see somebody and you see that obviously they're going through something, then go ahead and speak to them, pray for them.
Amen. Deacon Estrange.
It makes me think about, like, one of the core values for the Air Force is service before self. You doing the service before you serve yourself. So.
Yeah. Amen, amen. Anyone else? The question was, how can you pour out some of your time, your money, your love to serve God's purpose instead of your pleasures?
Sorry, for me, it's just putting His things first. It doesn't matter what it is. I just always want to make sure I take care of His stuff before and allow Him to order my steps for the day, so that way I can take care of my stuff as well.
Amen. Amen. Minister Avance and then Sister Diana.
If you know your cup is empty or tainted, first taking that time to get into God's word and renew your mind so that you can become a full cup that's not full and prideful and shallow and loud, so that you can be used the proper way. So serving your purpose and getting to know God's word first before even trying to step into a role you're not ready for yet.
Amen. That's good. Minister Evans.
Knowing a vision and getting up under it is all those things you said, because you got plans and you know you got things that you want to get accomplished. You may have a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, then you get saved, and then you come in covenant under a house. So now I got to know what the vision is for that house, and I got to adjust everything to the vision right there, because I say I'm in covenant right there.
Yeah.
It's going to take my time. It's going to take my funds. It's going to take me functioning in love. It's going to take me putting things aside that I thought was first, and now not realizing that God is really orchestrating my 5 or 10 year plan that I thought I had. He put it in a perfect alignment now, even though it's painful and it don't look like it.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think people really understand that saying when it says your gifts make room for you. When you really, really are walking in your gift and in your calling, when it says it makes room for you, that means it doesn't matter if you were doing this before. If now you're in your calling, God makes provision for you. Say, for instance, if He said, you need to get rid of that 6-figure job because I need you to do this, then He's going to make provision. That gift's going to make room for you. You're not going to be lacking in any area because that gift is going to make room for you to still carry on your life, probably even better than it was before, because that's what it means. It makes room for you, not just in the gift area, but in every aspect of your life. It's supposed to be better. Like Pastor said, he is a prosperity preacher, because prosperity means to be better. So when your gift is making room for you, that means every aspect of your life should be better, spiritually, financially, health-wise, family-wise. Everything should now be better and line up, and it makes room for you in that area. Minister Evans, you had something else?
Yeah, that's just what he did with the disciples. Like you said, called them to give the 6-figure job. He called all them businessmen that were running businesses to follow him.
Yep. Amen, amen. Anyone else? Sister Palmer.
So I was thinking, making sacrifices and bettering yourself. So I know for a fact, majority of people who probably use the restroom, they probably take their phone in there, probably on social media or doing something else. Instead of doing that, do something like read. Majority of people also have the Bible on their phone. Read the Bible, read scriptures, go back on your notes. A lot of people I know write notes in their phone. Go back and look at those to better yourself, as opposed to being, you know, on social media. And I know for a fact, like me personally, I had used to do that a lot, to the point where I was like, you know what, let me do something else. So I've actually bought, you know, several books that helped me be better for myself as far as like following God and everything. And I do read the Bible too. So I try to, instead of looking on my phone, being on social media, bring a couple of books into the restroom and just leave them there and just be sitting there. And I'd rather do that, or at least try to do that, as opposed to wasting your time being on social media all the time. So
yeah, yeah. And I want everybody to understand, too, what a really, I didn't go into it a whole lot, but a full cup, you cannot bless others if your cup is just full. Your cup has to be running over for you to bless somebody else. Your cup can't be empty. It can't be half full because you're not full. When you bless others, your cup is running over. It's just like, and I don't have one with me, but like with the English teacups, you know, they always come with the saucer. So you're not really supposed to drink out of the cup. You're actually supposed to drink out of the saucer because the saucer is where it overflows. So the cup stays full and the saucer is where you're actually supposed to drink out of. And that's how we're supposed to be. Our cups are constantly supposed to be full, and the overflow is what is for other people. Not what's in your cup. The overflow is what's for others. So if you're not full, you don't have any overflow. So we have to stay full and overflowing in order to even be a blessing, and that's in any aspect of our lives. Anyone else? Any questions? Any comments before I move on? All right, so what are you doing now to prepare yourself inwardly to become a major blessing in future strategic moments? And I'm meaning that with, as in within this church. You know what the vision of this church is. So what are you doing to prepare yourself? If you're that tainted cup, you don't have to say I'm the tainted cup. Just what are you doing inwardly to prepare yourself? And if you are that tainted cup, of course, you know you need to get in the word. You need to start restricting your speech. You need to start renewing your mind. You need to start getting the word of God in there. Just like a computer, it's going to keep doing the same things until you overwrite what's already on there. So you need to start rewriting some things that's within your heart. So what are you doing now to prepare yourself inwardly so that, like Pastor said, that you can bring in that building material so you can start being a keeper and not a killer? Sister Roslyn.
I think by me being obedient and studying my word more and being able to understand what God wants me to do, and then as far as in my business-wise, I have the vision to share my business with the church, make room for other people to use parts of the building to do what it's needed to do, so therefore nobody has to, my cup is full, should be full enough to share with other people's, so that it won't just be about me.
Amen, amen. Minister Evans.
You see, I ain't have my hand all the way up. I'm keeping myself strong. And I mean, like, I'm doing stuff that I normally wouldn't do under attack. So, like, if you normally wouldn't speak to me, I'm going to speak to you. You know what I mean? If you normally get funky with me, I'm going to be nice. So I'm keeping myself built up because I can be damaging. You know what I mean? If I get to the wrong place or the wrong frame of mind, and with the enemy attacking, which I know he is, it can make me angry. It can make me bitter. It can make me question. So I reflect on, like today, I was reflecting on several things that I said, I know, God, I know this is you. I know this was you. I know this was you. So the things that I'm nicing it up. You know what I mean? I have to nice it up at these times, especially when you see the enemy right before your face sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes people don't know they participate with the enemy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because even if I flip a switch, I'm participating with the enemy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just keeping my mind strong, trying to do something different, you know?
Amen, amen. That's good that you say that, because sometimes people really don't know that they might be that tainted cup, because they might have grown up that way. They might be used to it, to where in their family that was normal. And they don't know that it needs to be corrected or something like that, and they really are still tainting the body even though they don't know. A sin that you don't know is still a sin. Anyone else? Sister Harvey. And then Sister Amelia.
I would say, like Minister Avant said, for me, learning to not let those triggers, they're no longer triggers for me. So for me, it's learning to take a step back before I go back to my old man and keeping that love in my heart so that it doesn't get tainted with evil.
Amen, amen.
So I'm working on checking myself before I react. Because as of tonight's lesson, you know, I'm probably a tainted cup, but I want to be full. And so in order to get full, you know, I have to work on me first. Mm-hmm. And so every day is a test, and you know, you want to pass those tests, but I'm finding that if you don't really self-reflect and check yourself, then, you know, even if that cup is full, it will never flow over because you're still not there. So perfect example for me today, you know, I had something go on with my kid, and the old self, you know, I was stalking, I was checking, I'm walking up to random cars, you know, trying to find a certain parent for, you know, to deal with this situation. But then when I found the person, I had to check myself in that moment. I'm like, I could either be what I know not to be, or I can be an example of where I want to go. And so in that moment of that, you know, checking myself, I chose the right decision and I was very professional. My tone was very appropriate, but it took a lot to do that, so.
Amen, amen, that's good. We've all been the tainted cup. Some of us may still be the tainted cup, but it's acknowledging that you are the tainted cup and repenting before you can ever not be the tainted cup. And some people just refuse to say, I'm the tainted cup. And that's why they stay there and stay tainted, and then they eventually become the dry cup.
I just wanted to say, this goes along with what I had this earlier today, before coming here, and had a situation that happened on the phone, and my old self wanted to rise up and get mad and angry, but I kept it cool and allowed what the situation was at hand happen, and then I went through it the right way. So it was kind of like just holding myself back, just like she said, and it's just a trying situation, and I'm trying to keep it to the minimum of me not being able to go back to my old ways, because I've come so far coming to this church. I've come so far and looked at what my past situation has been, and then to now, I feel like I have come a long way, but we have still more room to grow, and that's what I'm working on, is growing.
Amen, amen. Sister Reese.
I've been working on self-examining and then asking the Lord to show me what it is that I don't even see about myself, because I don't want to cause damage. My goal is to have good intentions, but my intentions can sometimes hurt people. So I've been making sure that I slow down before I speak. I've been trying to be more obedient so I can hear what he has to say. So when I open my mouth, he comes out instead of myself. So I don't mislead someone. I've been working on trusting him more, because that was a struggle for me for a little bit, was trusting him, not because, I said I was trusting him, but my life was not reflective of me trusting him. So just going back into my word and making sure that when I find myself in those situations where I'm lacking faith or walking in unbelief, that I can read those words and just kind of build myself on those words. Working on being more disciplined and just sitting and listening and trying to see what it is that the Lord wants me to do concerning to prepare myself, because if I do it my way, I'm going to always blow it. So I get tired of going in circle after circle after circle, where I'm good one moment and not the next. So I've been just slowing down and making sure before I make a move, I want to make sure it's the move that he wants me to make. I am one of those people who give from a not overflowing cup. And so it does put me in bad situations sometimes. So I just been like, okay, Lord, what have you purpose? You know, what is it that I'm supposed to give? And then when I do that, then he does, like you were saying, he does make provision and he makes sure I don't run out in the area. But speaking more, and another thing, speaking more, I've been writing more. So when I do my studies, instead of me just reading through, I'm actually making sure that when I write something concerning this a thing or something I grab from something, that I'm finding a scripture to align with that. So going back and checking my notes, I listen to the word at work, I listen to the word in my car, and just try to stay humble, because when I know something's not right, something rises up in me. So I had to ask the Lord to deliver me from that, because I want to be the same whether I'm going through something or not. Sorry.
Amen. 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 That's good. And like I said, and like she brought something up when she said about giving from the not full cup, and she can really feel it. And a lot of times we do that in the body because we just, and a lot of times we don't do it because God put it on our heart. And you can tell when God didn't put it on your heart, because you do it, you don't want to do it, you complain about doing it, you talk about doing it, and you get frustrated because you're doing it, because God didn't really put it on your heart. You did it, and you really did it so people could see that you were doing it. Or you wanted the person who was supposed to be doing it to see that you did what they were supposed to do, just to let them know that they didn't do it. And a lot of times we think that God is going to bless us for those things, but he's not. Because for one, he didn't purpose you to do it. You did it with an unclean heart and an unclean mind while you were doing it. So that's the same as she was saying, not saying that, you know, you did it with an unclean heart or mind, but it's still given from that cup that's not full, and doing it, and like I said before, you're pouring out what God poured in, and you poured out something that God didn't pour in, so it was still a tainted cup. So that's pretty much the end of my lesson. I'm going to read off this a few more scriptures. And then the first one is Ephesians 4:2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Romans 15:2. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So again, I would just tell you to examine yourself. Which cup are you? Are you the empty cup? Do you come in, do you hear the word, and everything else is on your mind and you aren't really getting anything? Are you the tainted cup, or are you the full cup? And that is it for me on tonight. You want to come with us?
Amen. Let's stand. Thanks to my wife and Deaconess Avery for that great Bible study. Amen. Let's remember to keep our pastor, co-pastor, and those that are traveling. I think the Robeson and Sister Mo and her family are traveling as well. So just keep them in your prayers. They'll be back on Monday, but let's pray for their travel and mercy. And just continue to examine. We all should be able to examine ourselves to see where we're at with God. That should be a, I think somebody said it, it's a continual process of dying daily to those things that are not of God, and really seeing, we're really seeing and acknowledging where we're at with God. If we're empty, a lot of times it shows. If we just have enough when we come in Sunday, it shows. So Sunday should really, we should look at this as our training ground or our camp. We come back to the camp to get trained, to give praise, to get built back up, to go back out. We shouldn't live for the Sunday. We should really live for what's going on in the community and seeing how we can bring souls to Christ. But if we don't have anything to pour out, then it sort of shows, I think Pastor was saying, he gets agitated when the seats are empty. But the empty seats could be a reflection of us. We don't have nothing, so we're not giving anything. And then we come here and we want to make Sunday the end all be all. And then when we leave Sunday evening, we're not being effective. So great lesson. Thank you all for coming out. Father, we just thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the hearts and the minds, Father, that are after the Christ, the character of Jesus Christ, Father. I thank you, Father, for the lesson on the vessels, Father. I thank you, Father, that we can acknowledge what vessel we are, Father. I thank you, Father, for just showing us those things that we may need to police up, Father. The things that may be not of you, Father. Show us our gifts, Father, our callings, Father. The area that we are most effective, Father, at drawing souls close to you from, Father. Help us to be effective disciples, Father. Help us to have an ear to hear. Help us to have a desire, Father, to do what you're seeing, Father. No matter how hard it takes, Father. They talked about those disciples that gave up those wealthy jobs to follow Christ, Father. Help us to just have the faith, Father, over the fear of letting go of those things that keep us comfortable, that keep us living the fruitful life, Father. Help us to see if it's from a position of flesh. We're just satisfied in the flesh, but we're stuck in a spirit, Father. And just grant us traveling mercies, Father, as we return home, Father, to our destinations, Father. And just help us to be effective with our witness, Father. We give you all the praise, the glory, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.